Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 509. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Yeehaw.
Very, very enthusiastic on his horse. Earl's here.
I am the four-headed shark. I am the in-between, cool between two, three, five, and six-headed shark. Catch me on sci-fi next summer.
I can't wait. Jeff. You are here as well.
Whee!
Jeff is on a roller coaster.
That's a different Nintendo system.
Yeah, it's yeah, it has the good bowling on it.
Hey,
that's not fair. I haven't played clubhouse games, right? I was going to call it playground games, but that's not what it's called.
It's pretty cool for what it is.
I don't know. I'm sure. I'm still not sure. I want to pay $50 for it, but
you don't. You definitely. It's not don't.
It was.
Is it 40?
It was 40. So maybe you'll get it. I could see it going on sale for like 30. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Possibly. Anyway, yeah. So last week our recording bot cut out. We're hoping that he does not do that this week.
There'll be consequences, Craig. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure what the consequences are. We record in Discord. He's like the recording expert. Like, we can't really fire him.
Maybe we can.
I guess that's true. We could move over to Zoom and find.
Maybe that's the problem, is that he's too confident that we won't fire him.
Yeah, that it could be it. But yeah, so we're back. I think we were talking about the Halo Infinite delay last week when that all cut out. We got a little bit of news this week and a couple new games. And I guess we'll kick it off with Battletoads, which Earl and I have both played a little bit of.
I was going to download it, but then I saw how big it was. It was bigger than I expected. It was like,
it's 19 gigs.
Yeah.
Which is bigger than I thought,
way
too.
More than I figured it would be like 6 gigs.
I think it's all, there's a lot of dialogue. I bet it's a lot of uncompressed dialogue there. That's the only thing I can think of, because
I mean,
they might
do themselves a favor if they're smaller size and get rid of all the text or all the audio. So yeah, I don't know if you want to start off.
It's a beat 'em up, right? That's a it's a revival of a series that's been dead for 2+ decades. It's not anything that I'm not sure what I was expecting. Maybe like that's it. Like there was no expectations coming into this. I wasn't sure what the hell we were going to get. And
you don't really think back of Battletoads as like one of the best franchises ever.
No,
well, I mean,
I can't live without this. I wish there were more Battletoads in my life. It was gone, and we didn't miss it.
Here's the thing, and maybe I'm wrong, or maybe I think of it differently. Like, I remember Battletoads more for the crossover with Double Dragons than I do for any individual Battletoads game.
I remember the NES one. Like, that was the one I played.
Yeah. And I remember it being, like, super fucking hard, and I hated it.
I would get to the tunnel level. Like, yep. Whatever the one with the
I could not get past the tunnel. That was it.
Oh, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Like, I think I played it on Rare Replay, and then, like, you know, like, I think on Rare Replay you could, like, kind of cheat your way through it, and it was like, oh, yeah, there's no way you would do this, like, you know, without that. Like,
right. There was an arcade game.
The arcade game was cool. I played that on Rare Replay too, but like I don't remember that from when I was a kid. What I remember is the NES game.
I don't remember the crossover Earl's talking about either.
I remember being aware of
remember,
it.
You don't remember Battletoads and Double Dragon?
No, I don't think.
Wow, that was the one I played the most. I believe it was on Super Nintendo and Genesis.
Yeah, I remember that game. It existed.
I remember existing.
It
wasn't ever like Battletoads was never big back in the day. Like,
no,
to me, it seemed like oh shit, the Ninja Turtles are cool.
Yeah.
What can we do to answer that? What about toads that battle?
Yeah. At Odyssey speaking, And I didn't notice until, honestly, I didn't notice until a few years ago, is I always assumed that Battletoads was a cartoon that turned into a video game, kind of like Ninja Turtles, because it's so similar, because they take their names, Zits, Rash, and Pimples. Like, it's kind of a goofy parody of Ninja Turtles, but it's like, no, it's a video game franchise that was kind of created as the reverse of Ninja Turtles, where it was like, they're going to turn it into this mass market media property. There's a TV show pilot that aired for this one episode, and that was it. Nobody wanted to pick it up. And that's when I learned about it being like this video game that tried to spin off into something else, and it never was that. It kind of became an internet joke, because, like you said, I think the thing people remember is that one, the sewer bike chase that's super hard and difficult, and that was it.
That's what I was talking about before, the sewer bike thing, So,
it's a new game in this series that the four of us have gone, okay, it existed.
Yeah.
Earl, what are your thoughts? We talked briefly about this prior to the show, so I know a little bit, but I know you are going to be slightly more negative than I am, so...
I try not to be negative, and I will be upfront. I don't think it's a bad game. I actually do think, I think much like Streets of Rage 4, I think it does a good job of modernizing the concept of beat-em-ups with a lot of different abilities and combos and the ability to tag in and out your teammates. I think that's a really nifty feature.
I did like that one. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, and I like the way that keeps the combo going, and I like how they integrate the tongue into various parts of the combination and design. Baby. With you being able to use it as essentially like a grappling hook. You can pull yourself towards enemies or pull enemies towards you. There's stages later on where you can use it to enter the foreground and background. And I think a lot of that stuff is really nifty. The problem for me really comes from the writing tone of this game, where it kind of has this weird, you know, I'm watching the original 80s Ninja Turtles series, and it kind of has that really goofy, nonchalant attitude, but it's meta, and it's also poking fun at itself, because, like, to bridge the gap, because I'm sure everybody was wondering why Battletoads hasn't been around in 26 years, you start off by finding out like, they've been in assimilation for the past some odd years, and the world has passed them by, and it was kind of like, I don't need a story reason for this, like, it's Battletoads, just make them fight stuff. I will say, I enjoyed what the transition with that, because after you do that, the second stage of the game is actually this really fun little QTE level where like they are reacclimating to the real world and they are doing mundane tasks. Like one person is just a masseuse, so you're pressing you're pressing left bumper, right bumper in unison to kind of do the different hands, and then you use the two analog sticks to massage the backs and stuff like that.
And then there's a guy who's like at his computer, and it's like you're doing the same thing, like right bumper, left bumper to type, and then the computer kind of freezes up, so you have to pound on it, so you have to press like another button.
Yeah, and then
it's cute.
And then when you finish that, you send off the email, and then the last person signing an autograph. And yes, I think that's all great. And then I think the third devil I think is actually the homage to the sewer cycle chase from, and I will be honest with you, I understand why they did it, but that stage went on way too long.
It's bad. It's really long. That's the part my wife watched. She's like, is this all you do? Like ride around and avoid obstacles? Like, I don't know. Just started it.
Yeah, like you could tell, like some of the levels have like special achievements or special goals you can get, and the one for that one is finishing in under 8 minutes and 20 seconds. That level did not need to. I finished it in 10 minutes. It did not need to be that long. So that went on forever, and then the thing is, and maybe Chris had a different experience with it. Like the original one was remembered for being so difficult, being so hard. This one is just a slog. Like I never really felt it was challenging. It just goes on and on.
It's not fast, and unlike Streets of Rage 4, which those levels are, they're fairly quick. Like they don't take very long to get through. These levels are they take a while.
Yeah. And again, I like how they, but I like how, they're a lot more lenient as far as the beat 'em up goes. Like, you have the three characters, you die, I think, if all three of them die, but like, they die and then they're on a cooldown. So as long as you can keep it going for, like, I think it's like 10 seconds and 15 seconds and 20 seconds, they'll come back. I assume it's different with multiple characters, but you'll have that. So it's never been difficult. I've not gotten a game over. I don't think I've lost. I mean, I've also lived in the motorcycle chase, because you get the three characters, and sometimes a lot of it, again, it's not difficult, but some of it, it's like, oh, you have to know, like, there's a blind spot coming up right now that you just have to, like, trial and error, and it's like, okay, this is going to happen now. And, like, you do any segment. I did any segment of that stage, like, twice, and it was that was it. And then the enemy designs aren't anything to write home about, I guess. I thought, and maybe this is different. I thought the boss in the first level was just kind of annoying after a while. You fight them three times in the level.
That the giant pig guy.
Yeah.
He sucks. There's a much better boss at the end of Act 1 that kind of incorporates some of those skills that you were talking about, like being able to pull stuff forward out of the background to pull it towards you. That one, it was way more fun, I thought, than just like the Rocksteady and Bebop type.
Run around, wait until they.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've only done like four or five levels. I think five, because it's a motorcycle, and I did the level after that, and then the level after that. And I'm just like, oh, I kind of get the feel of it. So maybe I'll, like, again, it's not a bad game. It feels nice. I like how each character feels different. Again, kind of like Streets of Rage, where you have that one nimble character who's really fast, can do a lot of aerial combos. You have the middle ground dude who's like, he packs a punch. He can knock people up, but he can't really follow up with jumps. Then you have the powerhouse who just knocks people around. And like some of his, you know, like, there's one of his power moves. It's like he'll just grab an enemy and just start spinning them around and hit other enemies. And I'm like, that's cool stuff. And again, I like the fact that you are able to switch in and out of them throughout the combination to prolong their combos and stuff like that. And it has the platinum thing. I don't think Streets of Rage did this, where like each fight is graded on its own merits. So each fight you can get from, I think you start off with like a D, and you can get all the way up to. So,
yeah, I got an achievement for it, and I was surprised because I don't really pay attention to that stuff when I'm playing. But one of the fights was like, achieved an S rank in a fight. And I was like, okay.
Ooh, I never get S rank. I never try.
No. I got an S rank in the very first fight because it's essentially a tutorial. And I'm like, I assume there's going to be one to get an S rank every fight in the game. That's not going to happen.
No, not at all.
Because we're not real gamers. If we were real gamers, this is it would true.
yeah, I'm not finding it to be like impossibly hard, and it's funny because I read a review today that said it was impossibly hard. And I was like, and it sounded like that person only played like part of the first act, which I thought was kind of a weird thing to put out there. In your review, but
I reviewed the game. I played a little bit of it and stopped because it was too hard. 10 out of 10.
No, he did not recommend it at all. But I don't know. I enjoy some of the writing. Like I think early on, I was like, oh, this is not good. It's like really far up its own ass. It's like praising itself. Like the first level is all takes place on like this like celebratory red carpet type thing, like where it's like, oh, the Battletoads are back, and then as Earl said, like it's revealed that they're in this simulation. So I didn't really think the backgrounds or anything were all that great going through there, up until the end of the first act, where you kind of meet up with this lady, the queen, the evil queen or whatever. She ends up not being the person you end up fighting there. She actually kind of like joins up with your team because she's been forgotten as well. And so they both team up so that they can be remembered and be famous, because that's all Rash wants is to be famous. and be known for something. So I thought like that boss battle was pretty fun, and then some stuff happens. There's a pretty long cutscene where the queen just goes off, and it felt very like Powerpuff Girls like type humor, which was I found that amusing. Chuckled a little bit there. And yeah, it's like it's fun enough. I don't love beat 'em ups. We talked about this with Streets of Rage 4. But I'll probably keep playing it. It's fine. It's super colorful. Like I could see people being turned off by the art style of it. But I actually think it's like it's kind of different. Kind of has like that what's his name? Genndy Tartakovsky. He did like Samurai Jack. Like it has like that type of feel to it, so I don't know. It's free on Game Pass.
The price is right.
Yeah.
If you have Game Pass. If you don't have Game Pass, the price is not right.
I'm not sure what the price is if you
actually
don't
have either.
So I would not have bought a beat 'em up if it wasn't available on Game Pass. So
yep.
Yeah, I mean they're like we've said this before, like they're perfectly fine and I know there are people that really like them. They're not for me anymore. What else you guys been playing?
I finished Ghost of Tsushima.
Did you now? So I finally got back to it. So tell me.
It's
I know you were really liking
I like it even more now. I think the ending is great. Cool. In fact, the ending kind of goes on for a long time. It feels kind of like the end of Return of the King. Where it kind of ends like several times, and you're like, "Is this the end?" No, which was funny because I started playing it that night. I thought I was playing the final mission, and it was like 11:30, and I ended up finishing the game at like 2 o'clock in the morning. So the ending is a little long, but it's also super like emotional. There's a thing that happens right before the final battle where you're like. I personally was on the verge of like tears, like I could feel myself starting to tear up. I'm like, okay, fight. And I'm like, fuck. How am I supposed to fight now? but the game is really great. I think it builds itself up through each of the three acts to a really awesome crescendo. And then it does that kind of Assassin's Creed-y thing where it dumps you out at the end and you're like, okay, now you can go do everything. And at that point I had like 80% of the trophies in the game, so I think I'm actually going to go for my first platinum.
Just finish it up. Nice.
Yeah, might as well. I'm close enough. I've got like the map mostly unlocked so I can fast travel everywhere and find everything I need to find. But it's great. I mean, I love the combat. I love the story. Like I love every part of it. I really do. You should finish this game. It's really good.
Yeah, I jumped back into it this week after like I'd started it before vacation, which was a bad move because then when I came back from vacation, I was like not feeling it right now.
and see, I started it before vacation too, but I spent my entire vacation playing video games.
Right, so. Like I didn't have my PS4 with me, so and then it's not that the combat is complicated, but like there's a lot of button presses to like shift your different weapons and your different stances, and so when I came back to it, I was like, "Oh shit, what's going on?" Yeah. But now I think I have a good feel of it.
Yeah, it's not too fast, and the one thing I like about it is when you're shifting stances, time slows down.
Okay.
So it kind of gives you a chance to like reorient yourself, and also if you pick the wrong stance to like switch to the right stance. So it's very forgiving too. And they give you so many options and so like by the end you're like a whirling like a tornado of death. You're like out there throwing knives at people and lighting them on fire and like, oh, you hit me. Well, I just hit two buttons and wiped out four of you. So yeah, you get pretty powerful by the end.
Nice. I'm still in Act 1. I actually got to the mission I thought was the end of Act 1, but it was not. But I had gone through and like I was just working on those companion quests.
Mm-hmm.
And they like cut off at a point because I guess want you to progress the story a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, they go into like the act two and act three areas.
Okay.
So each one of those arcs, like you won't finish until you get to the end.
Okay. So it's like you kind of follow that storyline throughout.
There are a couple of shorter ones where you'll have like a companion who only has like three.
But there's four
of them with nine. So.
Yeah, those were the ones that I was working on. Was the mother who her whole clan had been killed,
mm-hmm.
and the archery teacher. I was working on those two, and I just got a new one where it's like he was like a sake deliverer or something. Looks like he has like a smaller quest line though.
Yeah, his is only three, I think. He's hilarious though. He's really dumb.
When we talked about it previously, it was like, you know, he's very dry, like the main character is very dry.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's been some parts that are actually pretty funny. Like, and maybe it's just because he takes everything kind of a little bit seriously.
Yeah.
But like the people
he's always the straight man in the weird situations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that game's really good, and looking forward to wrapping that up as well. Have you played any of Apex Season 6?
I have. They made a lot of changes coming to Season 6. I haven't figured them all out yet. But one of the bigger ones, they added this thing like a season and a half ago. Armor that as you did damage would get stronger.
Okay, that sounds cool.
Evo shields. The Evo shields always started off really weak, and you could, if you picked up an evil shield at the beginning, do enough damage to make it really strong by the end. Now, everyone who lands has a level 0 evil shield. So if you would manage to do enough damage unshielded, you could actually get a shield without having to pick one up.
Okay.
And then every shield on the map is now an evil shield of some level. So, like, instead of picking up a white armor, you pick up a white Evo shield or a blue Evo shield. So any shield that you pick up can be improved if you play well, which is kind of cool.
That's interesting.
Yeah, they pulled the map that I hate out of rotation, the original map.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just World's Edge now. They made a bunch of changes to it. Added some cool. So all the areas that were empty before now have stuff in them. So the map is like really cool everywhere now. They also added crafting. So as you move around the map, you can pick up these crafting materials and actually go up to these crafting stations and either like build weapons or build attachments or med kits. Or improve your armor.
What kind of materials are you picking up? Like,
I forget what they call it. It's all the same thing. It's
okay.
Yeah, whatever generic name they use for the crafting material.
It's funny to see how like Apex and Fortnite and PUBG and even Warzone are all pulling from each other.
Yeah.
And adding in, because like Fortnite's had crafting now for a while where you can like get materials and either upgrade your weapons or build new ones. So it's interesting to see Apex pull that stuff in and Fortnite pulled in like the reviving stations and that Apex had.
One of the cool things about the crafting, every day there is a weapon of the day that you can't find on the map anymore. It can only be crafted.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and you can also, at the crafting station, it will have like all of the major attachments for that weapon to be crafted as well.
It's like the perfect type gun.
Right, so if you were to get enough crafting materials, you could run up to the station and build the weapon and, say, build the purple clip for it and build the skull piercer or whatever the mod happens to be for it. And then have all that instantly. And you can also use your crafting materials to get more ammo. So
that could come in handy.
Yeah, so if you were to run and find like 150, which isn't all that hard, you could come out of there, improve your armor, get a great weapon, and be all and have plenty of ammo for it. Be good to go.
Nice.
Yeah. So, like I said, lots of changes. I'm still figuring it out. My KD over the last 3 days has not been very good, but part of that's been my aim has been off.
How is the new character? Have you played as her yet?
I haven't played as her. I did unlock her, but she can place like shield barriers. I've played on squads with her. The shield barriers tend to go down pretty fast. So if you were thinking like she's putting up something and it's basically permanent station, it's not.
Just a temporary field for you to get behind.
Yeah, it'll last for a little bit, but if you're like stuck out in the open, you're like, oh god, I'm going to build myself a fort so I don't die. That's not going to happen.
Got it.
So, but yeah, I need to play with her more. I haven't seen a ton of people playing with her actually. Which is a little odd because normally when there's the new character, everybody wants to play as the new character. Yeah. Like at the beginning of last season, everybody was Loba. Like I don't think I played a match without a Loba for like the first like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, when I came back, I only played a few rounds of Apex last season. But when I came back, I was playing as the assassin robot guy. Mm-hmm. But at all like 4 or 5 matches I played, I was like paired up with a Loba.
Yeah. So, and he was the new one from the season before. So
yeah. So I'm surprised that you're not running into more of them yet.
Yeah. No, I am, like all the time. They're everywhere.
Earl, what have you been playing?
I went back to the Avengers beta this weekend. And I think I'm out.
Out. Like, don't want to play the game even though you're getting it for free out.
Yeah, kind of.
Wow.
It's just not... The loop is not fun. Like, I've played a few more and I'm just like, oh. And it's the same complaints I had last week. Just amplified by playing it more. It's just like, you have this world that, be it what it may, comic books, the MCU, the animated series, whatever you want, the colorful characters, these unique vistas. I mean, like, yes, unlike DC, Marvel tends to be in real cities, so you can do New York, you could do San Francisco, you can, you know, you could do upstate, whatever. There's a ton of places. You have the X-Mansion, you have the, you know, the Baxter Building, you have Queens, and then the Helicarrier. And the Helicarrier is used as a base and nothing more. And you decide to, like, we're going to have, like, these generic environments. We're going to have these generic levels. We're going to have these generic enemies. We're going to have these generic go here, break four of this. Go here, wait in this circle for your team to group up with you. Go here, destroy this. And I'm like, this is what you gave us? And, again, I hear stuff on Knox over time, but I'm like, if the combos haven't seemed that different, your abilities aren't, like, you know, there's stuff you would expect, like, oh, I can grab or I can throw a bigger object. It's like, yay, I guess. It does not, fundamentally, it does not feel bad, but it doesn't feel like a game I'm going to play over and over and over again. Like, I'm not going to say it's as bad as Anthem, but it just, compared to Spider-Man or Arkham, compared to even the Ultimate Alliance games, the Ultimate Alliance games get away with having more characters. So even if it's like you play the same, it's at least I can play through 50 different characters and see their special abilities. This one I mostly have had the same 4 characters. I have Widow, Iron Man, Hulk, and Kamala Khan right now. And I'm just like, yeah, I played. Because again, I think Tony downloaded it. I don't know if you ended up playing it.
So I played a little bit.
I played Friday. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to. And I'm like, nope. I can't do this. This just isn't fun.
Does it seem fun enough that on Black Friday, it costs $30 that you would play through the campaign?
Again, I'm getting this for free. And I'm still kind of like,
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Well, but also, is the beta built like the game is actually built?
Well, I mean, we don't know, but you would think for a beta for a game that's like 3 weeks out, you would want to give us the best sample of that overworld structure. And I don't see why it would be different. Like, why would you create an interface uniquely for the beta?
I don't know.
Well, that kind of sucks.
Well, I mean, maybe Tony has different impressions than I do.
I mean, I did not play all that long. Like, I played through the first couple of missions. I was like, oh, this is kind of fun. Okay, I'm not going to cancel my pre-order. And then I stopped. So I think maybe you spent more time in it.
But again, yes. But at some point, it's going to be the time I would invest in the game anyhow.
The other thing is that I don't want to duplicate my process. Like, I don't want
to... Yeah, because none of it carries over.
Right.
I could see that, since you had already kind of decided I'm getting this game. Like, why spend too much time on the beta?
Exactly.
I'll be interested. I'm not sure I'm sold on this game in September. I may be sold on it in Black Friday for $20 or $30. But
well, I'm thinking, like, even if I don't play it, my son will play it. So
yeah. And I will be honest with you. We will come back in 3-4 weeks. I will download it, and I will have a change of impression. It would be like this fantastic game that had this hidden depth or something like that. Right now, I'm not feeling that though. And then the other thing I paid Earth Defense Force 4.1 on the PlayStation, and it's fun. It's fun. It's really enjoyable. I think it's an ideal. One, it was on sale for $10. Two, I had just finished Resident Evil 6, so I wanted something else to play with my friend that was kind of janky, but kind of enjoyable. Yes, it fits that mold very, very well. I think when I was playing it, I basically said that this is the shooter version of Dynasty Warriors, where it's like, if you just want to like spend an hour killing a bunch of stuff, but no real rhyme or reason, and maybe some difficulty spikes, this is a ton of fun. The one thing I will note about this game, and it has not happened to me in a long time, is the frame rate is, let's say, inconsistent. And I'm not usually a big frame rate person. It's not a big deal, but there are frame rates. I feel like this is around maybe 20-25. That like, if it's too low, it actually does make me nauseous. I think my eyes started to adjust near closer to the end. Because, like, we played twice this week, and I ended up staying in, like, 2-3 hours, and the time just flies by. Because, you know, unlike some other games I talked about, the loop is very simple. You go to a level, and the level's, like, 5-10 minutes. You shoot a bunch of stuff. You hopefully get new weapons. You try out those new weapons. You shoot a bunch of stuff. You get new weapons. Very simple loop. The spirit of it, because, I'm playing online, it's like you get a call and shout button, so we've just been shouting EDF every so often in the game, is that it reminds me very much of Starship Troopers.
Yeah. I mean, it's giant insects, right? And you're soldiers of some sort.
Yeah, and just kind of like the spirit of like how we play it, where like you will chant, like you come with NPCs and you will chant stuff. They will start chanting with you. They will start singing along with you. Just like this weird spirit of camaraderie between the military forces that you are. And yeah, it's a ton of fun to just go around and shoot spiders and ants and other spiders and spaceships and giant robots with rocket launchers. And at one point I had a golden spider tank, which is amazing. So,
sounds fun.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking for it.
Good. Jeff?
Hello?
You played Tony Hawk.
I did. I got the demo, I don't know, whenever it came out, last Friday.
Yep.
All it is the warehouse level, and you get to do a 2-minute free skate. So, like, there's no, like, goals or anything. Like, the skate letters aren't there. The combo letters aren't there. It's just like
the level.
Yeah.
So is this just a remake of like the Tony Hawk 2 demo that came castle, whatever. Because I think that was the same concept. It's just a warehouse. And it's just, it's basically, yeah, because I remember I played that demo way too much. But yeah, it's just a warehouse. I think it was only Tony Hawk at the time. You might be able to, you might have been able to pick one or two other skaters, and you just kind of go back. Same level, but like, just because you could do so much in it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't think you could, like, open up secret, because, like, the warehouse has, like, secret areas, right? Like, I don't know. I didn't play the demo a ton. I just played it, you know, I've probably played through the demo, like, 10 times or so. And, you know, because all it really accomplishes is making you want to play the full game, because there's nothing, like, to accomplish. And it's not like I'm not sitting there trying to see how high of a score I could post, because I'm just absolutely terrible compared to what I used to be. So, but
I'm right there with you.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what happened. I think it was, like, back in the day, like, my girlfriend was really good at Tony Hawk, so it was, like, she, like, pushed me to, like, get good at the game or something. Like, I don't know what it was, but, like, you know, back in the day, if I really, like, put my mind to it, I could do a million point trick. That's never ever gonna happen now. But but the other thing that the demo, like, you know, let me know is, like, this is gonna be fucking solid. I can't wait for this game to come out. Like, it feels exactly how you would want Tony Hawk to feel, but it has, you know, so much more that got layered on in the later games, like, you know, the moves, like, the, you know, the revert, spine transfers, the wall slap, stuff like that. Like, the things that, I don't know, if you played the later games, you came to really rely on those things, or at least I did. It's, like, the only way I could do, like, super big combos.
That was how you extended your combos, by, you know, buying yourself some time with some of these extenders.
It's like, if you go back, you know, if you're used to those later games, and if you go back to play Tony Hawk 1 or 2, your moveset feels very limited. Like, you know, when you're grinding or manualing back in the original games, you couldn't really do tricks. And now you can, like, keep, that's a huge, like, easy way to, like, add to your combo is, like, while you're grinding, just start hitting X, you know, or B or whatever. And so, well, I guess if you're playing on PlayStation, like, you know, square or circle, whatever. Right. It plays exactly how you want it to feel, but with all that stuff that was in the later games. I was wondering about that, because, like, the last time they did this, like, remember they did that, like, Tony Hawk Pro Skater HD?
Yes.
Which wasn't very good. And that one, you know, they added, like, the revert, which was, like, something that wasn't in the game until, like, the third one, I think. But this has, like, just, again, so much more, everything you'd want. Like, it feels totally right, and the game, unlike the last couple Tony Hawk games, like, does not look cheap. Like, it just looks and feels great. You can actually, you know, do a decent amount of adjusting with the visuals and stuff in it. I don't know. It accomplished its job. It got me super pumped for the game. I can't
wait. Which is what a demo should do. Yeah. Unfortunately, it's only for people that were already predisposed to being excited about it, because you had to pre-order to get it, but
yeah, or they
buy a burrito.
Can we talk about how dumb of a decision that has become? Like, that's, I mean, it was one thing back on, like, the 360, PS3, Wii, I think even PS2 did it, where, like, you would include a demo of a really hot, anticipated game with another game that would sell. But now it's like, oh, pre-order this game, we'll give you a demo to see if you actually want to keep buying this game that we're selling you anyhow.
Right.
Instead of being, I feel like a demo should be to sell to the widest possible audience, not the people who are already kind. Like, Tony and I are already, we're kind of already on board with the Avengers. You're not necessarily selling us on it.
Right.
But
in fact, you might unsell me because I've already pre-ordered it.
I mean,
you're letting me play it.
I do think that, like, you know whether you want this game or not. But, you know, there's a chance that there's people that, like, never played the series.
Well, there are. So, my son knows who Tony Hawk is, but he's never played a Tony Hawk game. Like, there has not been a good Tony Hawk game for him to play in the time he's been alive.
Yeah.
I mean, or even think about the fact that this came out in 2000. or 99, one of those two.
Yeah.
It's, there are people, college seniors now, who were not alive when these games came out.
Oh, God. We are so old. That's all I just heard.
I know, because like, this is when I was in college, like, you know, when I was like a freshman in college, Tony Hawk was like, actually, before I was, when I was still in high school, Tony Hawk was a pretty big deal. Just fucking insanity.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, but you think about, like, you think about, like, that era, that extreme era was like the mid 90s to the early 2000s. That is, I mean, you're a generation ago at this point.
Well, like, in terms of video game generations, it was four generations ago.
My God.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk 1 was a PlayStation 1 and
Nintendo 64. And like I said, I think the original or two were the Dreamcast launch title. So these are very, very, this is very old brand. So the odds are there are a lot of people who have never played this or who have never played the original because we don't really do a great job of video game preservation. So like thinking about something that was playable on four systems ago.
Yeah, I hope it does well. I mean, I can tell you right now, this game's going to be good. It's going to get good reviews, and if you're a fan of Tony Hawk, you're going to like it a lot. But I hope it sells well. Like, I hope this is kind of a comeback for Tony Hawk and that they do Tony Hawk 3 and 4 remastered. That would be great. I think those are even better than the first two.
So I think if this does well, they shouldn't do Tony Hawk 3 and 4. They should do a new Tony Hawk because kind of to the same point we're talking about now. Like, do you know who the current skateboarders are?
No.
Well, that's another cool thing I wanted to talk about the demo. I think this game has current skateboarders, just based off of the intro movie.
What I understand as well, yes.
So, like, you know how, like, and if you ever played a Tony Hawk game before, when you boot it up or whatever, it's like, it does like a little video, like actual video footage of skaters, like professional skaters, and you know, there's like a cool song or whatever. So like this one starts off and it's like it's that old footage of like Tony Hawk and the other pro skaters from back in the day, and it looks like bad. It looks like a video from 1999.
Mm-hmm.
And they play, I forgot what Rage Against the Machine song it is, but it's Rage Against the Machine. And then very quickly it like cuts to modern HD video and it's showing like the new generation of skaters. And it's like half the roster of new skaters are girls and shit. Like, it's just fucking cool as shit. It's like just a really cool idea, like how they did that. I think Tony Hawk's son is in the game. Like, I'm excited as hell to like be able to play with, you know, some of these new kids that are coming up, you know.
That's cool. I'm very much looking forward to it as well. But back to your Tony Hawk 3 and 4 thing, it was just an idea that the Giant Bombcast kind of threw out there, but was that they could do level packs for this and add in like 3 and 4 and add move sets and stuff and update this game.
Could. I honestly feel like, I don't know if they touched on like what moves would be missing, because like I feel like this has like all the moves you would want up through like Tony Hawk Underground. So, and I just don't. I'll buy whatever they release. Like if they release whatever levels they release, I'll buy. But I just don't see why. If I were them, I would just do 3 and 4 next. And like if this is a hit, do 3 and 4. I worry like the reason I don't want them doing like a brand new one is because like it's just. They'll find a way to fuck it up. Just fucking, like, those games are great. Like, those first four, just, like, do that. And then go on to give me fucking Underground, too. I love Underground 1, too. I know there's people that don't like those ones, but so those are great games.
Who's developing this one?
Vicarious.
Okay.
Visions, yeah. I think, right? I think. And they did work on some of the later Tony Hawk games, so they kind of know what they're doing. Dude, like, they know what they're doing. This feels fucking totally right.
I'm glad that looks like it's going to turn out good.
Get excited.
And that's a $40 game, right?
Yep.
I like this run now.
Yeah.
Like $40 games, because, like, Destroy All Humans was $40. Kingdoms of Amalur Re-Reckoning?
Re-Reckoning.
Is going to be $40. Tony Hawk's going to be $40. I like this idea of $40 games.
Yeah. There is a more expensive version. I think it's 50, but there's nothing like that I read in the list of things that you get that I'm like, yeah, I'm going to pay $10 more. Like, unless you're giving me like another level, even if it was just one level, I would buy it. But just to get like, you know, different decks, like, fuck it, I don't give a shit. Like,
right. Like, I want the skaters, I want the levels.
Yeah. So, but yeah, dude, like, you could safely get excited for this one.
That is early September, mid September.
Yeah, it's like in 2 weeks, like September 4th, something like that. Oh,
okay. So, right after my birthday. Nice.
There you go.
All right. And you beat Paper Mario.
I did. Nothing really to add because I kind of have sung that game's praises already. I don't know. I think that game is, you know, overlooked and people will notice it as time goes on. I also, on the Switch, because it was on sale, bought Skyrim. Which, you know, not much to say about that either. It doesn't look as good as it does on Xbox One, obviously, but...
How does it look like in what you remember the 360 version looking?
I don't know. Probably about that. Okay. I don't know, because, like, my memory of the 360 one is it looking amazing, you know, because...
Right. Yeah. Fair enough. The last time I played it was pretty awesome looking.
Yeah, like, this does not look like, this looks like an old game, but, like, the thing that's cool about it, like, just really fucking cool, again, not much to say about it, it's Skyrim, again, but, like, just playing that game in handheld just feels like a thing that should be impossible, and that's kind of, like, mostly how I've played the game while we're watching TV or something, like, it's a perfect game for that, too, kind of. Well, depends how, like, close you want to be paying attention to one thing or the other, but... You know, it's a game you could easily fuck off in, too. So, like...
Right, as long as you're not doing, like, a very specific
quest.
If you're just out, like, exploring, like, you could totally do it that way.
But also, like, the other day I had the day off, and my girlfriend's at work, and so I have nothing to do, and I just grabbed the thing off the dock and was playing Skyrim in bed. Like, it was fucking cool shit, dude. Like, I was just, like, marveling at the fact that I was able to do this. Like, the Switch still sometimes gets me with that, where I'm just like, I cannot believe that I can play a game like this, you know?
I was going to say, though, it's kind of funny, because I remember that kind of being the dream of the Vita. That was what everybody wanted the Vita to be. It's like these console experiences on the go. And... I mean, honestly, if the Switch wasn't a home console, I don't think it would have gotten the same respect, but it is nice that that dream has come true for many. I did want to touch on real quick. You mentioned Paper Mario, and I did pick it up again. And I knew the next segment would be Wind Waker-esque, like everybody has mentioned that. I didn't realize how much on the nose it would be Zelda.
Yeah.
Until I got to the temple, and it's like, oh, yes, you need to collect the orb of power, wisdom, and courage. I'm like, you're not even hiding at this point, huh?
Yeah, it's like, if you've played Wind Waker, there's no way you're going to play that section of the game and not, like, dude, you're filling out a map exactly like how it is on Wind Waker. Like, it's just like, and you're like, wasn't it like you're flying, like, or you're sailing around to, like, spots, you're, like, looking for spots in the ocean to, like, you know, Wind Waker where you would, like, dig stuff up.
To be fair, they're much better with that, as they give you a lot of NPCs will mark specific spots, and I do like that you actually have to grab, like, you go into the submarine and you actually do dive down and actually grab it, instead of like Wind Waker where it's just kind of like you'll do the hook and something might come up, something might not. But I like that they actually make you, like, there's a mini game to it.
Also, fuck, man, I know they did it once already, but, like, port the Wind Waker again.
Please.
Side note, like, the game
again.
It's not my favorite Zelda, but, like, goddamn, the atmosphere of sailing on the ocean in that game is just nothing like it.
It's my favorite 3D Zelda. Bring it
is
back. It?
Yeah, I'm sure it is for a lot of people, but, like, God, I just, like, I can't even explain what it is, but there's something about, like, being on the ocean and doing that shit where you're, like, dropping the little hook or whatever into the ocean, like, trying to fucking find treasure, like. The atmosphere on that game is just fucking incredible. And, like, the game just does not age at all. It just still looks amazing. It's, you know,
perfect art style.
Yeah.
It just looks so good over time.
I just wish that gamers weren't such idiots and scared them off from using it again in full feature games because they don't excel the stupid idiots.
Dude, if they did a Wind Waker 2, it'd be like the biggest fucking thing ever. Like,
well, I mean, technically it'd be Wind Waker 4, but
yeah, I know, but like, it just that whole like the way people wrote it off, that that's so fucking in the past now. Like, once that game came out, like, everyone was like, oh yeah, this is an actually amazing game. I mean, I'm sure there's some idiots that like never gave it a chance, but for the most part, it's beloved now.
Yeah, and I just think like because of that art style, it doesn't age. Like it still looks good simply because they went with that cartoony style as opposed to trying to make it a little more realistic like they did with was the one Twilight Princess, Majora and Ocarina aren't really realistic looking. They're so blocky that they're not really pretty games.
They've aged in, you know, many ways, but like they didn't really have to do much. Like, they did do some cool things with Wind Waker when they like put it on Wii U, but like they didn't redo it from the ground up. They just kind of like upscaled it or whatever.
Yeah,
and it's fucking great.
Yeah, fixed some of the sailing mechanics and made it a little bit better. But
they shortened the fetch quest at the end, I think, you know, made it like less, I don't know, long.
I'm interested by the rumor that Skyward Sword might be coming to Switch.
I'd be all over it. I think that's one of the, it's probably the worst 3D Zelda, but I'd still be all over that.
I didn't like it, but mostly because I did not like the controls. I did not like the motion controls on it. So
yeah, for monsters, you could say it.
You could like totally, you could just like map the sword to your right stick or whatever. Like, you know, they can make it control on a regular controller. Like,
because I did like the art style for that one. So.
It did have like some great dungeons. Like,
I feel like that's an art style that would benefit from HD because it had this weird washed out look to it.
Yeah.
That I know they were going for it with the watercolor look, but I feel like that's one that if you make it really pop out, it would look great in HD.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we can hope. I guess I'll just touch a little bit more on Destroy All Humans. That is very much a PS2 game. I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. But man, it has mission structure very, like, I mean, they did not change the mission structure because it's a remake of that game. And it is like, all right, you're going to go do these very specific things. And then guess what? Tower defense, like, protect the thing. It's like, or escort the guy and protect him. And it's like, I hate fucking escort missions. But that game is a blast when it's like, go destroy fucking everything. When you're dropping your sonic bombs on it or using your disintegration ray and blowing up buildings and skyscrapers and government facilities. It's a ton of fun. Looks great. It's really pretty.
I need to play this.
It's fun. Like I like that it's $40. Like that, I think if it was $60, I probably wouldn't have jumped at it. But like I could see at, you know, $25 or $30, like somebody getting a lot of play out of it. It's fun. I don't enjoy so each area has, the game is set up in, there's these different areas you go to. And they have missions there. But then once those missions are done, you can go back to those areas and they have activities that you can do to get like upgrade points and stuff. And the activities are very like rudimentary, like do a race or destroy all these people in X amount of time or, abduct a bunch of cows, shoot them into the teleportation ray so that we can get them on the ship and do experiments on them. Those are not fun. But the missions are enjoyable, like going in and like, all right, here's what we need you to do, Crypto. Like, you need to do X, Y, and Z, and you can't be caught doing it. And it's like, I'm having fun with the stealth because like you can take over, you can like kind of like make a hologram of like another of a human, and you can walk around as them. You just got to be careful about which areas you go into, because sometimes your powers don't work there, so you can be found out. It's just goofy fun. Like, the missions are well written and well designed, except for, you know, when you have to escort somebody or defend this tower for 10 minutes, because why not? Why don't we do like a horde mode where it's just you? But it's a good time. All right, let's do some news. Earl, tell us about this Ghost of Tsushima Legends mode.
Yeah. So this is actually kind of a fun little thing. Seems like it's free, well, off the bat, which is always great. They are adding a co-op 4-player mode, which is not actually with the main character. It is actually, I guess there are, I've not played the game, so Tony can help fill in the details here, I guess, is that there are stories told throughout the game of other characters.
And there's four of them, in fact.
And you're playing as those characters. So it's like a bit, it's kind of a nice little way to build the lore of that game while adding something that's uniquely different from the core game, which is 4-player co-op game.
I'm interested. That could be fun. There are things about the game that they'd have to change for co-op. Like, for instance, the time slowing down when you're selecting a move.
Like, I think some of that I like. Yeah, I think some of that is going away. I think stuff like that. And I want to say the wind direction thing, because again, with co-op, you don't necessarily have the need for like mini maps. I mean, yeah, but it's just a fun little thing. And again, you know, a way to prolong this game that has from what other people said, a really good compelling single player. That it's like, okay, we're not going to ruin your experience with this. We're going to add it after launch. It's going to be free, and it's going to fill in this gap with stories you've heard about in the game.
Sounds cool.
Yeah, it could be fun. I just don't see it being very substantial, but
it doesn't have. I mean, again, it's free, and you enjoyed a core game, right?
Right, exactly. I'm playing it right now.
Well, your podcast shouldn't be playing video games. We don't play video games on the show.
Tony is never a master multitasker.
I am. I don't think I've ever been on this podcast not playing a video game.
All right. Well, I am down for giving that a try.
Yeah, I'll play it. Why not?
Let's see.
Why not?
So let's go into maybe less happy news.
Oh, come on. Nothing but happy news this week. Nothing.
Okay, just before we touch on that, I just wanted a minor update. I think we talked about this last week or the week before. I can't remember. That the control people put out a statement today trying to explain.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
And somehow, this is kind of like, I feel like they did this before. Like, they need to stop putting out statements because they're not helping themselves. I mean, essentially they're saying like, oh, you can still play this game backwards compatible, and it's like, then what is the point of, like, you're given the upgrade, what's the point of that?
Right. Like, oh, you'll still be able to enjoy the same experience with the backwards compatible, and you'll get the upgrades for that, but you won't be able to play this Ultimate Edition, which, mind you, is a completely separate product that we're going to also sell on the Xbox One and PS5. Yeah, so you don't get that if you already bought the game at the season pass. And we thought about giving it to you, but we decided no. I don't understand where... is it 2K that does Mafia?
Yes.
So if you own Mafia 2 or Mafia 3, when they announced the Mafia remaster... they said, you know, they were also going to redo 2 and add some stuff to 3. And if you own those games, these are old games. Like, if you own those games, you'll get the upgrade for them. But Sweet. Control, a game that came out last year, we can't do the same thing. Because we're going to make a different version, and that's what this version is, and we're only going to be working on this version, and we can't work on both versions. But don't worry, those versions are the same. Such a bullshit statement.
I believe them. I want to give them all my money. Take it. Take it. I don't really like it anyway.
You don't like your money?
That's right.
Just give it away. Anything.
You didn't like control either, so.
Yeah, my recommendation is just, like, play Tony Hawk instead.
That's right. Play Madden. Play any. Just play something other than this game that they want you to pay money for that you already bought.
Yeah, I mean, I already bought Control. I will not be buying it again to get this new version. And now I'm not even sure I'm going to play the Alan Wake stuff because I haven't paid for that expansion yet. They might have just lost me. I just don't care.
That was your game of the year, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
Not anymore.
Game was fucking overinflated. Overhyped.
I mean, I really like the vibe of it. Like, you know, Twin Peaks.
It's neat.
Twin Peaks meets X-Files type thing. I thought it was really cool. I enjoyed the gameplay of it. Especially like once you get later on in the game and you're flying around and shooting stuff from your hand and like it's really cool, but it doesn't run perfectly on consoles currently. It's not optimized very well at all. And then for them to go, we're going to release this cooler version that one has all the DLC that we haven't even finished releasing yet. And it's only $15 more than what the DLC cost, period. Like, I don't know. I don't necessarily blame Remedy here. I think this is all 505 games. And that's who the statement came from today was 505. But this just all seems really shitty.
So let that be a lesson to you. If you hear the game you want is being made by 505, get less excited about it.
Yeah, I
mean, the secret of happiness is to never buy a game at launch. Wait 2 years until the Game of the Year edition comes out. And if it's cross-gen, apparently wait 2 years for that version to come out. So
it seems to be that seems to be the thing to do. Just wait. Wait 3 months. Wait 6 months. Wait a year. But
yeah, because I think Tony pointed out last week, because Control was a game I picked up for $20 on Black Friday, like 2 weeks after it came out. So I feel like it's one of those games that, and it, you know, a lot of people are fans of it. It's weird to turn those people off and then to expect like a whole new audience is going to buy this game again.
Right, because those are the people that you want, that you're going to utilize to sell your game, right? Like, hey, like, should I buy Control? Yeah, man, that game is really awesome. But now you've just pissed them off and they're like, no, fuck those guys, they suck. Like, I mean, you'll still get some of the people going, yeah, Control's really awesome, like you should buy it like for the $40 or whatever, but I think you right now the public discourse around this game is fuck 505 games and fuck this edition. So
yeah,
what sucks for me is they also published Bloodstained. I fear that they're going to do something stupid like that with that game, where they're like, "Hey, we've created an optimized version for next gen systems."
Oh well,
but you have to buy like the Ultimate Edition to get it. So.
Against the current president of the United States by the former vice president.
But so that is shitty news. Also shitty news. Were the allegations that kind of came out of Rocksteady?
Was it about Bebop?
Definitely about Rocksteady and Bebop.
And Fly Guy.
Anybody got the details on this one?
I don't. I didn't hear. I didn't catch any of this. Earl, are you there? Somebody, Christopher.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, can you not hear us?
No, he needs to be informed. I think.
No, all right, go for it.
So they've been accused of inaction over staff harassment over the last couple of years, I guess. And this is, you know, coming out right around the time that they're going to be announcing their new game. So not great PR for them.
No.
Yeah, the new game will be announced in, what, 2 days? Day and a half at this point?
Yeah.
Almost like some sort of Suicide Squad.
That was really bad. Let's see what letter dated from November 2018 and signed by 10 of the company's 16 female staff at the time raised complaints about behavior, including slurs regarding the transgender community, discussing a woman in a derogatory or sexual manner with other colleagues, and sexual harassment in the forms of unwanted advances, leering at parts of a woman's body, and inappropriate comments in the office.
Someone was doing this, or was a culture of
this is it seems to be a culture within the organization.
Yeah.
They've been accused of kind of just brushing that under the rug and saying that, you know, doesn't have, it's similar to Ubisoft, right? Like, where it's just like, oh, that stuff never happened. Now I guess chickens are coming home.
And then we were talking about this before, like, if there was another letter or something, or no?
Maybe there was. Possibly, but probably not. Basically, yes. they posted to their to their Twitter feed, Rocksteady did, a letter that they claimed was written by these 10 women, the ones who were still at the studio.
Saying, like, sorry, never mind.
saying that they had nothing to do with this, they have no idea. It's
who did they originally address the letter to, like, the first one?
The first one?
Yeah, like, you guys sent a letter about what happened.
It was like an internal HR complaint that got shelved, and they were told that nothing was done about it. And then, like, the second one was probably written by HR, but it was just coincidentally sent to them by the remaining females at Rocksteady who were like, yeah, everything's great.
It's great. What are you talking about? I have no idea what this means.
There is no war in Ba Sing Se. But
So here's what the beginning of the letter that they're saying came, that it was unsolicited. It was an unsolicited letter that Rocksteady received. While working on a response to the recent news, we received the following unsolicited letter. 8 out of 10 people that signed the original 2018 letter are still at Rocksteady. The following unedited letter below is from 7 of those 10 people. Please note that all involved do not wish to have their identity disclosed public under any circumstances. And basically it says that none of the current female employees at the studio who were involved with the letter. That's not. Basically, it's saying that, like, oh no, everything's fine. in response to this HR complaint that was,
it's all good. We're good.
Which is kind of funny because, let's see, where is the something about what they had to do. Oh, the only thing that we had as a result was a company-wide seminar that lasted an hour. Everyone who attended was asked to sign a statement confirming that they had received the training. Felt that it was just a way for them to cover their asses.
I'm not going to say that sounds really familiar, but it does.
So yeah. Rocksteady. Looks like, you know, game companies suck. I mean,
they do.
I'm sure it's, you know,
companies suck.
It's everywhere, yeah.
And don't forget to join us this Saturday as we announce Suicide Squad Kills the Justice League from Rock City Games. Yeah. But yeah, it's really poor timing for them after not having a game for 5 years.
Yeah.
So. I tell you, when I saw, I did see that they were doing Suicide Squad or whatever. Like, they just posted like a post of it on Twitter, right? Like, just a picture or something stupid, right?
Oh, they posted the picture. Yeah,
yeah, like like that's it. Like that's all they showed, right? Like so we don't know anything about it yet. But as soon as I saw that, I was like, I don't give a shit about that game. Like, you know, no offense, you know, I'm sure people are excited about it even here, but like the Batman games are great or whatever, but it's just like I don't care about playing some fucking suit. And again, we don't know what it is either. Like how if it's gonna like how it's gonna play at all or what, like anything, you know. So
yeah, is it gonna be another game as a service title? Like,
I mean, the flip side is like after four Arkham games or three, I think, because they only made Asylum City and Night. They didn't make Origins. I mean, I kind of am with them on the gameplay standpoint. I mean, anything can happen.
Yeah, but like, you don't know what it's going to be. Like.
Yeah, but I think they've bought enough goodwill. I no, because that was our Origins. Because Night had a multiplayer mode, didn't it? Or was that just Origins?
What did?
I don't think Night had a multiplayer.
I don't remember.
Oh, you know what? It maybe did.
It was just Origins. One of them had multiplayer. Because it was like Robin, Nightwing, and somebody else versus like villains. It was like a 3v3 thing. It might have been Origins, so.
I think you're right, dude. I don't think it, but I think you're right.
Origins is the secret second best game in that franchise.
Yes.
What?
I can't say. I think that's the only one I haven't. Oh, no,
I like the only one I didn't play. So.
I like it better than City and Night.
I never finished City. I finished Night. I finished the first one and I finished Night. And, you know, for me, the first one's a great game.
The first one is a great game. Night sucks. That game is bad.
I liked Night more than City, so I know I'm weird on that. I know.
I remember Chris here. It's Asylum, Origin, City. X Night.
There's that Arkham Blackgate game. The side scroller. That's better than Night too.
But you know, I thought what was cool about those games is that like they honed in on one, like what, you know, what is this character, and like, you know what I mean? Like it was like very designed around who is Batman. You know, what does he do? Like, what would Batman gameplay be like? And they built around that. And so, like, I wanted to see them do like, hey, do Superman, and like, let's see like what kind of game would a Superman game be like? You know. Not just like the Suicide Squad. As soon as I saw that, I was like, what? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I was more interested in seeing them do like another single character.
Yeah, me too. I wish that was what it was.
I don't know if I would have liked a Superman game, but I think a Wonder Woman game would have been really cool.
Wonder Woman, or
I mean, honestly,
or
I
Green
think,
Arrow, or like
honestly, at this point, almost any of these, like, Wonder Woman, Green Arrow, Aquaman, anybody, like Superman. The problem with Superman is his own invulnerability and making that an interesting game. Please see, nobody else really has that problem. So, I mean, like, I've always just imagined Wonder Woman being like God of War esque.
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be awesome.
And I'd be on board with like a Green Arrow type game too. That sounds really cool. Give me a bow and let me go and shoot things. That's awesome. Batman with a bow.
That's right.
But yeah, so anyway, the back to the shitty news of Rocksteady. I guess the ex senior scriptwriter of Suicide Squad, she's asking for her name to be left off the credits. Due to all of this goings on at the studio, which she's no longer a part of, so I don't even know if, you know, there's some studios that don't put your name on the credits if you leave before the game comes out, so I don't even know if she'd be eligible, but she's requesting that she not be credited on that game. So that's a weird thing to do.
Yeah, I've never heard that one before, but did she say why?
That would Let's see. She believes the company got rid of her because of the letter. McCaskill concluded by asking Rocksteady to leave her name off the credits of the upcoming Suicide Squad. Basically, she feels that things were getting better when she was let go from Rocksteady. they are not, she doesn't feel that they have gotten better. And as a result of that, as a result of these, this leaking now out to the press, she's publicly asking that Rocksteady not include her name on the credits. So, seeing that things haven't improved at Rocksteady, I am formally asking you to take my name off of your game. I do not want to be associated with your game. I do not want to be associated with your company. My entire memory of being in your company as one of your only senior females was trying to protect a woman in your company while you allowed them to be continually assaulted, abused, and harassed. And the whole time, protecting the people that were doing it, people that I know that are still in that company. So, I mean, that's pretty emphatic as to why.
Yeah.
I can understand why. At this point, her name is probably out there as somebody that has spoken up about this stuff internally. So, her name being on the credits or not on the credits isn't going to hurt her career in any way. Anyway, so. All right. Well, that's it for sad news. Well, maybe not.
I find more sad news for you.
No, it's all right.
I got happy news for you. Did you hear Steve Bannon got arrested?
Yes. And Jeff, tell everybody who arrested him.
Yeah, I feel like that should be in more of the headlines. It is in some of them. Like, some headlines, you'll see that. And I think the Washington Post did a whole story about it. But the postal inspectors.
I will be honest. Didn't know it was a thing.
Dude, I think
I only know about
that. There's a bad TV show called The Inspectors.
Really?
It was like a cop show about. I never watched it. I'm just aware that
about mail fraud and
I remember
an episode of Brooklyn. Is it Brooklyn Nine-Nine? That's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
I believe there's an episode of that where they work with postal inspectors. And it's like this bad rivalry back and forth.
I mean, it's I guess people are maybe marginally aware of this, but yeah, there is a postal inspectors they're serious cops. They're like fucking feds, dude. Like that's what they, you know what I mean? Like they're federal cops. Like they deal with the mail. And so, and you know, they do shit, you know, internal stuff too, like going after bad employees and shit, I'm sure. But they got to arrest.
The Brooklyn Nine-Nine episode was less kind.
Yeah. Come on. It's Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Don't, you know,
yeah, I mean,
don't
it's a comedy. Not, but, yeah. But
no, they're real. They're legit. Like, you know, a lot of stuff they do, like I said, I think is catching, you know, internal, like, employees who do theft and stuff like that. But, you know, anyone who fucks with the mail, you could be brought up on charges by them. It's federal charges, dude.
And that's what this was, right? Yeah. Like they were basically soliciting donations for this fake wall that they weren't building.
Yeah. And so like they use that them to arrest them, you know, because part of the charges will be mail fraud, you know. I do wonder if it was like they went with them because, you know, some other agency didn't want to arrest him, or I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, who knows?
They volunteered, like, we really want to arrest this guy right now.
And it's just like, it's just so, like, it feels like, you know, a lot of the jokes on Twitter this morning were like, it felt like it was written for TV. Like, it's just like, what the fuck? Like, just this, you know, part of the government that everyone is, like, rallying behind and is, you know, being threatened by the Trump administration and shit, and like the postal fucking inspectors arrest Bannon. Like,
they're the ones to go get his buddy. Yeah. Great. It's awesome.
Too good. Too fucking good. Holy shit. Like, you don't understand, like, how, like, the day I had after that, I was just like all fucking smiles. I was like the nicest fucking mailman you ever saw today.
Well, we're glad that brought some happiness to you in the morning, Jeff. But I believe that this probably also brought you some happiness. Earl, what happened at the Nintendo Indie Direct?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we had a Indie Direct. It's, I think, the first time it's... Well, okay, I don't know if any of you have seen it. From the response I've gotten on Twitter, on social media, it seems like it's the first time Nintendo has spoken to the audience this year that they actually resonated with. So it was about a 20-minute presentation. I mean, you know this bill with a Nintendo Direct is by now. So, yes, they announced something like 20 games. Six of them, for some odd reason, were coming out that day. And I'm all for Shadow Drops. I think Shadow Drops are great. I think like, you can say it right now is a fun thing that people do, whatever. I think six of them, you end up using this plot because it's like, who's going to remember six games at the end of it? And there are some games I want to get, but now I have to choose. Like, there's four of them I'm interested in. I think one's on the Game Pass, which I'm downloading now, and then the other ones I will figure out. But, so yeah, there was a bunch of games. I think the headliner, I think for a lot of people, oddly enough, was much like Ghost of Tsushima. I can never pronounce that word. Yeah, whatever, that one. Untitled Goose Game is getting in a Yoko co-op mode next month. So now you can play as two geese. It's like,
Twice as annoying.
So I guess technically speaking, it should be Untitled Geese Game. But yes.
Untitled Goose's Game. I think that needs to be grammatically incorrect.
I agree.
But yes, you could. I mean, as far as I can tell, it's just a core game with a second player.
Is that like, are they doing it as a separate release, or is it just like?
No, it's a free. Oh, it's free. It's a free update.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Never finished the first one. I think I did the first level.
Well, now you can.
I did the first couple levels, and you know, I had
you
experience.
You were just waiting for
it. Was enough. Like, dude, I didn't need exactly. more. Like, it was fun. I enjoyed it, but
yeah, that's how I felt exactly. I'm like, that's cool. I get it, but I was not like, you know, when I wanted to play a game, I wasn't thinking, oh yeah, I want to play.
I want to play this. This is what
I want. Finish that Goose Game.
Ooh,
I did finish the Goose Game, but
well, it's not that long, right?
No, it's not.
But yeah,
it's too many games.
So in addition to that, which I thought was a headline, that was the thing that ended like. Like I said, there were six games that were announced for release that date, which was Tuesday, I think. The 19th? 18th? 18th, yeah. A Short Hike, which is a game, it's like you're a bird who's trying to climb up to a path. I've heard good things. It seems pretty short as well. Evergate, which looked like Ori.
Ooh, I played that at PAX East.
What did you think?
It is neat. It does look a lot like Ori. It is. They are more static levels, though. So like you're playing on. Did you play Celeste?
Yes.
So think of like an area of Celeste. That's basically what the impression I got from Evergate was like. You know, it's this area you're trying to navigate it to get to the next portion of the game.
Okay. Manifold Garden, which I don't remember again, which is why having six of these. Spiritfarer, which is actually a Game Pass game now. You are a person who ferries along dead souls on your ship, so it's kind of like a town building sim. It's super adorable. I'm downloading it, and hopefully I'll have an impression of it next week. And then the two I was most interested in that came out that day, and then I just need to be. I'm trying to be cheap and conserve my money and figure out when I get a good deal on eShop credit. Is Arashi, an Ancient Epic, which is an indie. It looks like an indie India Prince of Persia game.
Yes, we talked about this one a couple weeks ago. This was one of the demos that was on that Xbox One.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool game. From what I played of it in the demo.
Yeah, and it looks really cool. I love Prince of Persia, which is another game we'll hopefully hear about soon, because apparently it's a rumors of a remaster of that. I really want to support it, because there are not, as far as I can tell, I don't really know of any major games from India.
No, I don't know either.
Just having that, and it's set in, like, not only is it, like, you know, Indian, and it's that, and, like, different, like, you know, like, a lot of our culture, a lot of our mythology tends to be Western. We tend to, especially here, we tend to focus more on Greek and Roman mythology and stuff like that. we don't necessarily always get the other one, because there's a lot of favorites of mythology, so it's nice to get something different there. And then the other one I was interested in, partially for the art style, partially for what it is Tashi and Hiroshi, which is a game where you're a bigger brother working on like a video game or something, and you have to keep your younger brother occupied. So it's like this turn-based, it's like a turn-based RPG, and you kind of set up the challenges. So you like you put the number of enemies, the type of enemies in that encounter, and then like you play, the little brother will play through the game, and it's like, you know, you can't make it too difficult or he'll lose interest. You can't make it too difficult or he'll die and he'll get frustrated. You can't make it too easy or he'll get bored and he'll nag you. So it's like finding the right balance. So I think it's an interesting concept for a game, and like having this pseudo RPG system, but also having this meta thing of trying to appease this little kid and finding the right balance in a game. I do hope it helps inform people of how video game development works. It won't.
They don't care about that.
They don't, but...
It's easy. You can make a Pokemon every 20 minutes or something.
Yeah, I mean, it takes, 5 minutes to create a new Pokemon? They should all... There should be thousands of them by now.
So many.
Because I could open up Unreal Engine and code something. So those were the games that were coming out that day or that are out this week. Part of that is also there's an indie sale. I mean, I think all three major publishers are having summer sales. Xbox, PS4, which are all having sales. And there's some great games on. I wish I had money for them all. So in addition to that, just to run through some other stuff that was announced, Baron Breakfast, Card Shark, which has a really cute style to it as well. And I believe this is it's set in like the French 19th century or something like that. Garden Story, Going Under, Garner 2, Grindstone, which I hear is a big game on Apple Arcade. Hades, which a lot of people seem to be big on to. Haven, Hypnospace Outlaw, Inmost, which is out tomorrow. She Dreams Elsewhere looks fantastic, and I'm really paying attention to that one. It's kind of like this really trippy-looking Earthbound. Well, I mean, saying really trippy Earthbound is just redundant, but it's great. Struggling, Subnautica, and Subnautica's Below Zero both coming out 2021. The Red Lantern and announcement of, I think this is on other, Torchlight 3 is coming out this fall.
Nice. I believe Hypnospace Outlaw is also coming to Game Pass as well.
Oh, even better.
That one seems pretty cool.
Yeah, a lot of these games are great. And you know, it's one of those things where like we've talked about different presentations, and I'll throw smoke up Nintendo's ass real quick. Is that I thought one, it's short, it's 20 minutes, but they do such a great job of just kind of making these things playful that it never overstays its welcome. How they introduced the Untitled Goose Game DLC, for example, was like the people were wrapping up and you just hear ducks quacking in the background at them, and then they're like, oh gosh, we gotta go, run the trailer, run. And it's that kind of self-aware humor that I don't necessarily think Microsoft, Sony, and some other, a lot of people take themselves seriously and they don't poke fun at themselves, and I think Nintendo's always had a good eye for like, oh, we can make fun of ourselves and it endures people to us more. So this is why their presentations, I think, always work better than other people who try to mimic the format.
Yep.
Agreed.
All right. Well, that's a lot of games.
Yeah.
Who's going to play all these games? I'm not playing them all.
Earl is playing them right now.
Well, that's always the issue with these things. I mean, if we were to go back to the scope of this endless E3 that apparently has not ended yet.
E3!
Oh, we did not talk about that story.
The women. Yeah, we do that in a minute.
But yes, you look back at, there's been a lot of games announced, and there's been a lot of games detailed. There's been games that released, and I'm like, a lot of them have just kind of fallen to the wayside because it's just way too much information, and it's not even like you get time to process the information. Like E3 happens, and then you kind of sit with that information for 2-3 weeks because really everybody blows their own during that. It's really nothing else to talk about. So you go through the press conference, you see all the big games, and then people start writing stories about the smaller games, the games they checked out, games that left an impression with them. Here it's like, okay, no, you got a press conference tomorrow. There's one next week. Okay, there's two next week. Okay, yeah. Okay, Microsoft's doing something. Sony's doing something. Oh, this game got pushed back. Oh, this game got moved forward. Okay, this game's getting ported. It's like, there's just way too much going on.
Yeah. All right, so you mentioned it. So we should talk about it. E3 retweeted. Let's see. Here's what Screen Rant has to say about it. Within a span of hours, E3 tweeted, then deleted a link to an article titled "The Games We Play: 25 Online Games That Women Enjoy." This was from a pop and lifestyle outlet, Parade. I can't find the original article anymore.
I can't imagine why.
That's what I'm looking for as well. So I'm on the site. I don't even see it on the site. Yeah. But
I think they deleted it off their site. They just tried to...
Parade was just like, shit.
Yep.
I mean, it...
It was bad in every respect. Like, it was all of the worst possible games you could... Like, it was like Solitaire and Minesweeper and, like... Kim Kardashian dressing game and like everything you would.
Oh, I saw that. You guys talking about the girl? I'm sorry, I missed the whole beginning of this.
Yeah. Oh,
like games for girls or something. Was that an old article that someone put up?
Like the games women play. It wasn't old. It was new.
Dude, that looked like an old. Like who would write that nowadays? Like what the fuck, man? I'm
trying to find it because I think we had it.
Solitaire. I saw it, like, I didn't read like the actual article, but I saw people grabbing screens of like the game listings they had in there. It was so fucking funny.
Okay, so I found a version of it on so it's Sudoku, Sayonara Wild Hearts, which is a great game, Candy Crush Saga, Harry Potter Wizards Unite, Animal Crossing New Horizon, Overwatch, Solitaire, Sims 4, Stardew Valley, Spelunkin, Bejeweled Classic, Bang Dream Girls Band Party, Casino World, Star Chef Cooking Game, Tiny Wings, A-Day, Kim Kardashian Hollywood Adventure, Harvest Moon System Memory, House Flipper, Just Dance 2020, Disney Code Illusion, The Game of Life, Drawful 2, Love Letter, Tetris.
I mean, there's some good games on that list.
Sayonara was my game of the year. Yeah. You know what's funny about that is obviously I love that game. My girlfriend fucking hates when I play that game. She can't stand the music. But anyways,
but the problem with it isn't it wasn't necessarily games. I think it's some of the text.
It's the games as both. It's the whole thing.
It's both. Like, but, Sayonara Wild Hearts was my game of the year. Oh, it wasn't my game of the year, but it was a game, because I played it this year. This is what they say for the entry, Sayonara Wild Hearts, which has a lot going for it. Is a gorgeous game featuring tarot cards and astrology motifs with a sweet storyline that makes you feel like you're in control of pop music video. It's not necessarily how I would Sayonara Wild Hearts.
It's Sonic. That was my description.
I'm not sure either of you are right on that.
Jeff's is better though because it doesn't offend people.
That's true. Except Sonic fans, who are just offended that they never got a game as good.
I think my pitch when we did Game of the Year last year was like, this is why it's Game of the Year. It's a 3D Sonic game, like, but only the parts that are good. And so it's an hour long. That's basically...
Yeah, that was basically your argument, yes.
I mean, I'm not 100% wrong. Okay, yeah.
No, you're not.
Okay, or here's Bejeweled Classic. Diamonds are a girl's best friends. Am I right, 80s? And they are even more fun when they come in a variety of sizes, neon colors, and when you get rewarded for properly matching them. Woo! Okay, I did the woo, but yes, it's a lot of it does seem kind of.
I think the woo is implied. I'm pretty sure.
But does it say? Does it say if the article was written, like who the article was written by?
It was written by a woman.
Okay, I was wondering that.
That's the first thing I was, because I read the article when it came out. Like this.
That makes it slightly less bad, I guess, but it's still like, I think it's bad writing no matter what, because like.
Oh, it was archived.
It's just dumb.
Yeah, that's right. I got it on the Internet Archive. But yes, girls love gaming just as much as men. And I think that's where, I mean, really, that's where you kind of use the, that's where you use the audience right there. It's like this whole, like, oh, we got to prove that women games as well. And to have like this whole just of like, oh, like, I assume women play the same games we do.
Yeah, and like, most of them do.
I'm sure there are women that like, yeah, they'd only play a couple games, and
there's guys who do that.
I know. That's the thing. It's like, there's also, like, and I'd say a lot of women who play games, they play everything. Like, you know, like, just like us, you have your things that you like more than others, and that's kind of it. Like,
yeah, like, I'm sure there are guys who just say,
so old. Like,
there are guys who just say EA games.
Right.
Absolutely. And,
those guys are blessed, by the way.
And I will say, some of those guys are my best friends. I love them to death, but I'm like, I'm always trying to get them to play anything but sports games. Like, I'll go to my friends' houses, and it's like, Madden, the show, Madden, the show, Madden, the show. I'm like,
that's kind of my one friend, but he's like also very open-minded. Like, he'll, like, if you were like, let's try this out, he would do it. Like, you know, but like, yeah, mostly what he buys is just like Madden or, I think I was telling you guys about it. Like, the last game he bought actually was Borderlands 3, which is, like, you know, that's something more. Like, I wouldn't have expected him to buy that either, you know? And then he randomly called me up and was like, I pre-ordered Tony Hawk. How do I play the demo? It's like, really? Okay.
And again, to kind of go back to the segment we had earlier, again, that's why it's so dumb that you gatekeep these demos.
Yeah. But dumber was this article.
Yes.
Yeah. It did crack me up when I saw that the other day.
I mean, like, I get it. Doing, like you know, top 10, top 25 lists are tough finding blurbs to write about them. But these are bad blurbs.
Yeah.
And you could make an argument that, like, hey, these are games people, like, women play. And there's nothing wrong with so, like, I'm sure, like, that, look, I've never played that Kim Kardashian game, but I know millions of people have, and it has excellent ratings on both app stores. Like, so the people that are playing it are liking it, so, like, there's something there, but just the way that they go about, like,
all women are like,
this is a cute game where you, like, play with clothes, or, you know, like,
right.
And yeah, I mean, like, Nintendo has a huge brand with Style Savvy that does stuff like that. So it is, I mean, it depends on how it walks the line sometimes. Because it's like the difference between Style Savvy and something like when Ubisoft had the Imagine line, where I felt some of that was talking down to its audience, but it had an audience. So, you know, it happens.
But yeah, so. E3, they came back. They took down the tweet. They apologized for putting that tweet up, and it looks like Parade also ripped out this article. So yeah. Also, Sayonara Wild Hearts isn't free, is it?
I don't think so.
No, it's not. It was on sale on Xbox.
That's what this says here. It's we surveyed game developers, programmers, and everyday players to bring you this list of 25 free online games for women. Overwatch also not free. Neither is Animal Crossing's New Horizons. This is a flawed list right from the start.
Yeah. But I did almost buy Sayonara again on Xbox.
I saw it there. Yeah,
$9. And I'm like, you know, that gives me an excuse to play it again. And within an hour, I'll have, like, basically all the achievements.
Yeah.
For real.
It's on sale. It's on sale, too, for $10, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have till the end of the weekend, Jeff. You buy it. Yeah. All right. Well, that is that's the news for the week. Sounds like all the games come out at the end of the week next week.
That was actually something I wanted to talk about real quick with Battletoads, because Battletoads came out today.
Yeah.
Is Thursday a day for Microsoft now, or is this just an odd thing? Or is Battletoads, and I could be, is it not a physical release?
I don't think it's physical. I think it's just
okay.
It's a weird day though to drop.
It is a weird day, but also Tell Me Why, which is the Don't Nod adventure game that's coming to Xbox exclusively. That releases on Thursday too, so maybe we'll have that next week.
And I'm off
for have game of the year next week.
I'm off for spreading it out and not, because I mean Tuesday was a holdover from Tuesday's a shipping holdover. It's because like that was the day you could guarantee that your package would be in stock and ready to be set up. Because people post office didn't deliver on Sundays. Nintendo went to Fridays, which makes sense because you want it at the start of the weekend. They used to do Sundays, but that was just weird because that's the start of the week. But yeah, we could do, I mean, Thursday's been a big day for digital. I know that's when the eShop updates. I think all of them update on Thursdays now.
Paradox releases their games on Thursdays.
It's just weird for like a big title. Like I know that sounds condescending now to say I'm used to retail titles not being on Thursday. So I assume Battletoads for retail.
I don't know. It's Wild West now. Anything goes. Monday, Tuesdays, Fridays. Never used to be on Fridays.
Yeah. Like I said, Nintendo's moved to that date because they get no competition and it's the start of the weekend, so.
I will have PGA 2K21 Game of the Year Edition.
I'll have Total War Troy.
Right
before Jeff talks about golf, we'll talk about Total War next week.
I want to talk about golf until everyone is asleep in
That's
bed.
Why we're starting with Troy, so that you're half asleep and we'll fall asleep while you're talking.
On the flip side of the conversation we had this week, we'll also have Rockstar's new game and WB Montreal's new game to talk about, because the E3 that never ends is never ending. So I'm super excited for Saturday. It's a whole day of DC content, so I will be there. I mean, well, here, but, you know, there. Are you ready to say goodnight? Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.